Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Main Menu Live. This week, in the first hour, we're going to be hearing from Level Star, all about the Icon. We're first going to take you to the ACB convention and listen to coverage provided by our ACB Radio Interactive staff, and then we're going to bring on our guests tonight via Skype and along with Daryl, and we're going to talk to all of you about the Icon, and you'll be able to call in and ask questions. In the second hour, we're going to continue our ACB convention coverage with a panel of experts to talk to all of you about what they saw at the convention and just some insights about the AT industry and more. This week, Chrissy Cochran, ACB Radio's director, announced that Daryl and I will be leaving the ACB Radio Main Menu production team as well as hosting Main Menu. We thoroughly enjoyed doing this for the last 4 years or so, and we'll be back with contributing content as well in the future. So you'll hear from us, but not as hosts and co-hosts. We don't really want to focus on that tonight as you call into the show, so keep that in mind when you do call in. Without further ado, let's go ahead and listen to a little bit of a piece with Level Star all about Icon, and then we'll bring on Mark along with Daryl and Robert to talk to all of you further about Level Star and the Icon.
Here I am at the Level Star booth, and you are?
I am Michael.
Michael.
I am the tech support person for Level Star.
Okay.
And we make and sell the Icon, which a lot of you have heard about and a lot of you have started to get a hold of.
I hear a lot of good things about it.
We are really excited this year. We now have NLS support. We have Audible support. And we just released our docking station.
Ooh.
So we're really excited to be here this year.
Okay. So now that means that somebody who uses NLS or what was the other thing you said? Or Audible
yeah.
can play books on this.
Right. And we've been able to play Bookshare from the beginning. So, but now both of those, we've added two more things, two more ways to get information and entertainment.
So, and you say a docking station. So that means now that this is the way to, what, charge it up and synchronize?
The docking station gives you a few things. The most, I guess, prominent feature that is, as you look at it, you get is a full-size QWERTY keyboard, so that now if you're going to do a lot of emails, web browsing, some word processing, all those sorts of things, you have an easy way to enter that data. And it's, you could use a USB keyboard, but we give you some other advantages with the docking station. Another advantage is that it has its own power, such AC power or battery power, and its job is to keep the Icon fully charged all the time. So even if it runs all the way down and you pop the Icon handheld part out, it's got a full charge, so off you go for, you know, a while longer, and so that, you know, you keep on going, never have to stop.
Wow. Okay, so that might be left at home or at the office or something.
Right, the docking station part could easily be left behind. It actually could also be carried. The Icon slides completely inside, so it then becomes one whole unit, and it has a case, so you could carry it. It weighs 2.5 pounds, so you could take the Icon in its docking station as well. But say you're going out to dinner or something, and you know, you just need the address or maybe a contact information of somebody you're going to meet there. And you don't really want to take the big part.
Right.
You take, pop the small part out, put it in your purse, away you go.
Okay. Now this Icon, I'm sure, I think I saw it once, and I'm sure we have other people out there that are not real familiar with it. This is like a PDA?
Correct. It is a PDA note-taker system. You can do all the things to take notes. Like I said, there is a word processor. And that sort of stuff, but then you can also do PDA functions. You have a planner, an address book, you can check email on it, And then on top of all those things, you can use it for entertainment as well. You can read books or you can listen to your music on it.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And how much storage space does it have?
It has a 40 gigabyte hard drive.
Mm.
And then you can use mini SD cards and the USB thumb drives you can also attach to it. So
and where are you all at with Braille display?
We are working on Braille display support. It is currently in development. It's coming along. We expect to have it out. I can't give you an exact date, but we expect to have it out fairly soon.
Okay, so it would be hopefully sometime this year?
Yeah.
Great.
That's the hope anyway. So.
Okay, and what does this cost? What is
the Icon and the docking station as a total package is $19.95. If all you want is the handheld part, then that's $13.95.
Wow.
The other advantage to the docking station is that it has an Ethernet port, so if you don't have wireless at home, but you do have a router where you can plug cables into, you know, like you would to your desktop, you can now do that with this device as well.
Okay.
So another way for it to get out onto the network.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right, and if people want to find out more or contact you or whatever, whoever they should contact?
Right, they can contact Level Star. Our number is 800-315-2305, and it's levelstar.com.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Debbie, very much, as well as Level Star. And without further ado, let's bring on Level Star along with Daryl. Hi, guys, how are you?
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Daryl, and it's good to be on for our main menu season finale, I suppose, here. And
that's right.
Thank you all for listening. That was a great interview there.
Yeah, it's great to hear Debbie doing the interviews this year.
Absolutely.
On Interactive. In fact, she's going to be joining us, and I'm not sure, is Larry going to join us too?
I invited him, but he was working on something, and he didn't get back to me, so
okay.
that will be a surprise,
yeah,
folks.
Maybe we'll find out together. All right, great. And let's see. Let's give everybody contact information. The phone lines will be opened shortly. The number is 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF, if you'd like to participate in the show. And how can they get a hold of you tonight on the MSN side, Daryl?
On email or MSN Windows Live Messenger, the address is mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. And we also have Twitter. Going to be posting an occasional note or two, perhaps, here on the page twitter.com/mainmenu. That's twitter.com/mainmenu.
That's right. All right, great. And without further ado, we'll let you take it away, Daryl.
Wonderful. Okay, Mark, so if you'd like, just kind of the interview at convention, go ahead and give us a little more background and introduction of yourself and Level Star and the Icon Portable PDA and Note Taker.
All right. Well, thanks, Daryl. And before I get started, I just wanted to say thanks to you and Jeff for all the great work you guys have done over the last 4 years. As we were saying before the show here, you're going to be a tough act to follow. So thank you guys for all you've done, and thanks for having us on. I actually didn't do the interview at the convention, so I'm a little bit at a loss because I happened to be gone from the booth, so I don't know.
Yeah, that was Mike, right?
That was
Michael. Right. So what I thought I would do is just try to give everyone a quick recap of what's new since we were last on Main Menu, which has been, I guess, a year and a half ago, and in getting ready for the show, looking over this list of things that we've done over the last year and a half, we've come a long way. So what I thought I would do is do that. But I suppose the first thing I should do for anybody who doesn't know about Level Star or about the Icon is to just give you the quick 30-second description of what it is that we do. My name is Mark Mulcahy. I'm one of the partners at Level Star, and I'm a blind guy, and was very involved in the design of this device. And the Icon is a small PDA, note taker combination. It's funny when we talk about it because we don't know exactly what to call it because it's so cool and so different than anything that's really out there. The icon is a two-part design. The handheld part is about 3x5 by a little less than an inch thick. Has a standard telephone-style keypad, and it's got removable batteries, built-in text-to-speech, and a whole bunch of applications, address book, calendar, word processor, the kinds of things you would expect to find in a note taker, built-in book reader, music player, and web browser, email, some things you wouldn't expect to find in a note taker. We have a built-in RSS reader. We have a 40-gigabyte hard drive built inside, and built-in Wi-Fi and Bluetooth.
You know, Mark, I when I heard that 40-gig hard drive, because I had forgotten about that, that, you know, that is larger than my laptop's hard drive.
it's
that's pretty sad,
it's
isn't
amazing
it?
It's amazing to think back on technology, how far we've come. I think my first PC had an 80-megabyte hard drive in it. You know,
yeah, my first PC had a 40-meg. Yeah.
And I remember my grandfather back in the mid-80s bought an IBM PC, and I think he spent, I don't know if it was $6,000 or $10,000, and I think it had like a 20-meg hard drive. So it sure is amazing how far we've come. So this little handheld device slides inside of what we call the docking station, which turns it into something that looks more like a traditional note taker. It's got a full QWERTY keyboard, stereo speakers, built-in Ethernet connection in back, USB ports, and extra batteries. And so the idea really is that we give you a note taker when you need one, full, comfortable keyboard to work with if you're in class or in your office or whatever. But when you're out and about, if you're like me, you don't necessarily want to carry something large around, but you still want to have all your music and books and documents and maybe take down a quick phone number or voice note, and so you can take the icon out with you, stick it in your pocket or your purse, and have access to all that information. So that's a basic idea of what it is that LevelStar is and what it is that the icon is. I'll pause for a minute, if Jeff and Daryl, if you guys have anything, any questions before I jump into the kind of what we've done over the last...
No, we do have some questions, but we'll get to those a little bit later. We have, and Daryl, one came in, I don't know if you saw it on email too, so, from Bruce. So.
I'll double check again here, yeah. But I've got questions
from Debbie.
A couple of others.
Yep, exactly.
Debbie, and,
we'll let you give the highlights, and then we'll open up the phone lines, and then we'll get into questions and stuff.
Yeah, I think we'll do it that way. So
okay,
go ahead and tell us what's new, Mark.
All right. Well, I'll try not to keep it too long. The list is pretty long here on my computer. The first thing we've done is the docking station is released. Released at about the QWERTY version of our dock. Released about I guess maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. So that's been real exciting for us, and it makes it a real complete system. That was always the vision, was that it's a complete system. So the docking station's out. We're very excited about that. The Braille Plus is now released. I don't know if there are too many of you that don't know about the Braille Plus, but it's a version of the icon that also includes a Braille keyboard on the handheld device. So rather than just having a standard telephone-style keypad and some navigation keys, it has Braille keys along the sides, and when you want to input information on it, you flip it 90 degrees and type Braille into it. And that is the product of a really amazing and exciting collaboration between LevelStar and the American Printing House for the Blind. And so that's been out since April of 2007, and we're real excited about that product. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, we increased the size of the hard drive to 40 gig. The originals were 30 last year. And let's see. File sharing, another big one, recently released so that you can share files with your Windows computers over a network, wireless network or otherwise. Bluetooth is now working. I guess it wasn't working when we last talked. It is working now. We support Bluetooth keyboards, and hopefully in the not-too-distant future, Bluetooth Braille displays. We now support WPA and WPA2 encryption. For Wi-Fi, it's better security for Wi-Fi.
you know, that's really significant too, because a lot of universities, especially where I work, you can't get on the network without it.
Yeah, at least
at least with full access. So that's that's outstanding.
Yeah, it was. We're glad that everything fell in place for that. We've just introduced a new software installer that allows for third parties to develop software. And Saratech is the first to release a very cool package that integrates the ICON with the System Access Mobile Network. It does really cool things, like lets you access content up there, lets you play your home media library right from your ICON over the network. A lot of cool stuff there. So they're the first, and we hope many to follow. A few games have been written by third parties. We had Mike at APH wrote a couple, Hangman and Sudoku. And then a guy named Keith Watson just randomly showed up with a blackjack game, and it's available up on the user website. So some fun additions there. We added a problem report tool, which is pretty unique on a PDA, but it really has helped us work with all of you and our customers to make the product better. So when it misbehaves and doesn't do the right thing, you can quickly report to us and give us all the information we need to track it down, and it's been really helpful in tracking down some of those things. Thumbrail is another thing we talked about in the last main menu that wasn't fully implemented, and I couldn't talk about it because I couldn't talk about it. So it's fully there now, and it's a very unique scheme by which you can enter Braille on the icon's numeric keypad. So we use the left column of numbers 1, 4, and 7, and the right column of numbers 3, 6, and 9 to enter Braille. And the idea is that you should be able to enter Braille with two thumbs. Well, there are obviously some dot combinations that you can't enter with one thumb. For example, like K. You can't press those two spaced out dots with one thumb. And L, for example. And so those are what the middle column of numbers do, so that you can use two thumbs to enter Braille.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had the same reaction. I was like, oh, that's very interesting. I wonder if people will use it. And people actually do. It's been really interesting to watch people, sort of learn it and become accustomed to it and get fast with it. There's a lot of little items here. Automatic search of removable media, so you can plug in a USB drive or a mini SD card, and it'll search for books and music and give you menu options to move those to your library and whatnot. You can adjust speech rate on the fly and punctuation levels on the fly. Many people wanted that. The music player is basically completely rewritten. We started over, and we added files mode because we found a lot of people didn't have their collections tagged very well, and you know, it's hard to tag a collection sometimes. So you can now search and sort and navigate through your music in the structure that you have it stored on the drive. More accurately catalog things so that if your tags are correct, we do a better job of searching through those. Something we'll talk about in a little bit, with streaming media, you can, if you're streaming a radio station, you can have the, over the internet, you can have the media player announce various information about the track when it changes. So if the title changes, you can have the icon announce what's changed. And it's not real interesting in your own collection where you may know the songs, but it's kind of neat when you're listening to a streaming station and you don't necessarily know. Some minor items there, repeat on off. We had shuffle, so adding a few of those things. You can now copy music anywhere, from anywhere, so you can copy music from a thumb drive or a mini SD card or a network folder, and the media player will go out and find it all and copy it to your hard drive. We now allow you to create playlists, and then the media player will always start where you last left off in the playlist, so you can use it to play audiobooks that may not be DAISY or other formats, so you can easily resume those. Major changes in the bookshelf, a lot to talk about here. We now support content from audible.com, NLS, and Saratech, and those are pretty significant additions and pretty exciting additions, especially in the case of NLS, because they have just such a huge collection, and it means that you can use our web browser to download the books. right to your icon, and then just play them. You don't even need a PC, so it's great.
So does it unzip the book? So does it unzip the books?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. So we have a in conjunction with that, we've got what we call an import folder. So you just download the zip files to that import folder, and you start up the bookshelf, and it unzips the books and catalogs them and puts them on your hard drive. So it's a very nice way to access and read books from NLS. And then we just added a few weeks ago Audible.com support, so you can play content from Audible.com. Bookmarks. We had a lot of people obviously wanting bookmarks, so now you can store an unlimited number of bookmarks in a book. Mentioned the import folder. The recent books list was another thing that a lot of people wanted access to, so now it keeps track of what you're reading, so you can easily get back to the things you're reading. And we have the same sort of thing that I mentioned for the media player. You can have the bookshelf go out and find books on a thumb drive or a mini SD card or a network folder and copy them over. A few minor changes in the browser. We added the ability, as I said, to stream audio, so you can play internet stations, ACB radio among them, and that's very handy because the icon's so small. You can just clip it on your belt and walk around your house and listen to internet radio. So that's kind of fun. But that's, I think, there's probably a bunch of things that I missed. I think there are a lot of little things we did. I'm just looking over my list. You know, for example, we did some things in email so that you can, select addresses from your address book, and some little things like that. But a lot of major things we've done over the last year and a half. We've been busy, and we continue to be busy. So that's a brief overview. Hopefully, I didn't put anybody to sleep. And
well, no, not at all.
That's kind of where we are. So we're excited about all the things we've been able to accomplish, and about having the docking station available is really exciting for us. So
yeah, that's great. That's neat. Now, does your email support IMAP?
It doesn't. It supports POP and POP3 and secure POP3 and SMTP and SMTP with TLS.
Okay. Okay. So no IMAP yet.
Okay. No IMAP yet.
Okay. All right.
Robert Carter, Jeff.
Hey, Robert. How's it going?
I'm on the line here. Fine.
Yep.
How are
yep.
you all doing this evening?
Sorry about that, Robert. Yeah, we definitely wanted to get a user experience here. We were going to turn to you next, Robert. And
yeah, I thought I would comment on that a little bit, if that's all right.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
We have a question as well, another question coming in on MSN.
Okay, we'll get to it in just a second. Go ahead, Robert.
Yep.
Okay, well, I would just like to comment a little bit on my experience with the icon. I actually use the Braille Plus version, but I'd like to comment on just a little bit about life with it as a user. And what's happened for me is when I get up in the morning, once I get my shower and get dressed, I put the icon on my belt, I walk into the kitchen, and I immediately start downloading my email, my morning newspapers. I download the New York Times, the Austin American-Statesman because I'm in Texas, and the USA Today. And while I'm preparing my breakfast, I'm listening to the email, reading the email for it's coming overnight. I'm scanning the news, and a lot of times I'll go ahead and download RSS content, which will update my podcast folder, which will update RSS articles that come in from various sources like CNN and some technology websites that I subscribe to via RSS. And so it's literally become a way that I enjoy breakfast every morning with fresh content that I download that's come in from the night before. And then, of course, I carry this with me on the van on my way to work, and I continue to enjoy the content. And if I feel like it, I can switch over to the music player. I have 200 albums on the icon, about 2,515 songs, I believe, last time I checked on there. There's plenty of music to choose from, and the sound quality through a pair of decent earbuds is really excellent with the icon. So I just wanted to comment a little bit on, just for a moment, about the practicality of how practical it is to have this device clipped onto your belt.
Now, as you're traveling, we had a question from Bruce, actually, about this, Robert, and maybe you can answer this. Bruce brought up a really interesting question, and it's actually a pretty significant one for out here, too, in Arizona. We have a lot of bumpy roads and stuff like that, and there's a little bit of fear about the hard drive inside of the Icon. How does it handle that as far as, real bumpy roads and stuff like that? How have you found that to be the case?
I've been using it for over a year now, and I take it with me everywhere, so I've traveled in, used it in automobiles and buses and planes and even once on a train, actually. And I've had no problems with the hard drive, and very seldom do I hear a little bit of a dropout or just a momentary skip or something, but that's very rare. So really there's been no problem, and I think it's very similar, honestly, to what my wife experiences with her iPod with a 30 gig hard drive in it. She carries it everywhere and it works just fine, and the Icon seems to be very similar in that regard. I don't know, maybe Mark has a comment on that, but that's been my experience.
Yeah, you, Mark, have any comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Robert's really nailed it on the head. It's a hard drive based device, and I think that you can expect the same kind of performance you would from an iPod or some other hard drive based device. But I did want to add something that I don't think is well known, so I'll just mention it, that the Icon has smarts inside of it. It knows when it's being dropped. So if you drop an Icon, it immediately parks the hard drive. That dramatically improves the reliability of the hard drive based products, because the real problem is, if there's a significant jarring when the drive is actually spinning. When it's off, it's not such a big deal. So and we realized that when we built it, and so part of what we did that significantly helps with that is to stop the hard drive, just completely power it off if we think we're falling. I use one every day and use it all the time and take it everywhere as well. And,
yeah.
I think it's been very, very reliable.
Now, the only reason I brought up IMAP before, Mark, was because I can see a situation in business where you wouldn't necessarily want to pull the content of mail off of the POP server. Do you have a feature where you can leave the mail on the server on the Icon?
Yes.
Okay, good.
In fact, that's how I do it. I leave mine, right now I leave my, I use IMAP on my PC and just leave the messages on the server with my Icon, but then it gives me a way to easily read things.
Right.
When I'm not in front of my computer.
Yeah,
funny, I do just the opposite generally.
Of course you do, Robert.
I go ahead and delete everything off the server when the Icon downloads it, because I've discovered that I actually prefer managing my mail on the Icon pretty much over the PC. And so, because it's always with me wherever I go. So I guess we all have a different takes on it.
Now, I wanted to talk about the docking station just for a second. Now, I haven't seen one of these. I've seen an Icon, and I've seen an Icon Plus, but I've not seen the docking station. Obviously, that's pretty new. Now, Robert, are you using the docking station?
I am not at this point.
Okay. Mark, can you connect a regular... obviously, I think you probably could if it's a docking station. Can you connect a full-sized keyboard then to that?
Yeah, it's... I don't know why you would want to... So the docking station, just to give you a quick physical description, is about 12 inches wide by 7 inches deep by about an inch and a half thick in the back. And on the front face of it, you've got a full QWERTY keyboard. The keys are nice, pretty full size,
okay.
Travel. And then in the back, there are various ports, power, USB host and client, and Ethernet, and the Icon slides completely inside of that device. Looks kind of like there's a door on the side. Looks kind of like a VCR or something.
Yeah,
like
I was just going to say that, like a VCR.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's neat.
Slides all the way inside, and then you can just carry and we leave the top exposed, which is where the mini SD card and the audio jacks are. So you can carry this around, and it's designed to be carried this way. You can carry it around like a traditional note taker, you know, like you would if you were a student in class. You can, you know, we give you a nice case with it, so you can throw it over your shoulder and carry it around. And it's, the case is designed so you can use it while it's in the case.
Oh, interesting.
So you can carry it around like a traditional note taker. Weighs about 2.5 pounds with everything, the icon in it and everything. But then when you don't want to carry a full-size note taker, you take the icon out, stick it in your pocket, and you're ready to go.
Okay, so, well, when I was thinking of a docking station, because I was doing a little bit of show prep as we were listening to the interview from the convention, you know, I have a laptop at work, and it has a docking station, and it's a real tiny little thing, and basically it's just, you know, the laptop, you've probably seen them, you know, the big laptop slides into the, or drops
right, like a port replicator.
Yeah, that kind of a thing. And so I was just wondering if it's kind of similar to that. That's why I asked about the keyboard, because, but that's even better. So
Mark, how does its keyboard compare with, say, either a laptop or PacMate's keyboard? Is it similar to one of those?
I would say it's similar to a laptop keyboard. I really like it. It doesn't have, obviously it doesn't have a number pad, but it has everything else. It has the cursor keys are nice. They feel different.
So would it be good for someone? So it'd be good for someone maybe who has. Would it be good for somebody who typically has difficulty with laptop keyboards?
Well, it's you know, keyboards. It's really hard for me to say. I think so, but obviously, yeah. You know, I'm biased. It's hard for me to say. I think with keyboards, you know, you kind of want to get your hands on it.
Exactly.
It intrigues me the way you did it, though, the way the icon slides into it.
It does.
That's very interesting.
So you have dots on the keys and all the traditional features of a keyboard. It has all the arrow keys and all the functions and all that good stuff on the docking station?
Yeah, you've got arrow keys on the dock. Like I said, the distinct cursor keys. The dots on the F and J is normal. We do have function keys on the dock, and we reserve those for quick launch. So you can, like, for example, F4 launches the media player or switches to it from anywhere. F1, F2, F3 are global media player controls. So it's great when you're, you know, trying to, you know, for example, for transcription or something like that, where you want to have, you know, media playing and be in the word processor and typing. Something
pretty
like
amazing.
That. I forgot to mention that it also has its own battery, so it's designed to be carried around as a portable unit, and it significantly increases the battery life of the whole system, as well as recharging the icon. So we're getting 10 to 15 hours or so with the icon inside of the dock, and then once you're done, then your icon is charged, so you have another, you know, 4 or 5 hours with that.
So yeah, so this is not just a docking station. I think the name is...
It's really interesting that you mentioned that, because we've had a real hard time. We've had a real hard time knowing what to call this, because it is really, it's cool, it's new, it's different. And
it's a mothership.
Make it
it's the icon mothership. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you should have called it.
No,
that probably wouldn't have worked. But
probably not a good marketing term.
But wow, that's... Yeah, I'm not really. Yeah, it really, the name doesn't fit. You know, it does so much more. You know, because people traditionally think of docking stations. You know, just like if you were to use a laptop with a docking station, and this
right.
this
I think
obviously
that's been one of the biggest problems. You know, honestly, is that this is a new idea, a new device with a new design, and people have had a hard time really understanding sometimes. How cool it really is, or what all is really there.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's so different than, say, you know, a PacMate or a Braille Note or anything like that. And it's quite interesting. And it's interesting now to see that we're starting to now see, you know, games and independent, you know, software developers contributing to the icon now.
I mean, that's one of the things we always wanted to do, and you know, it's surprising how much time it takes to help people write software. but it's one of the things we've always wanted to do, and so, you know, we've always said, you know, if developers, if you have questions, we'll do our best to answer them. So, you know, we're excited that that's starting to happen.
So we still have some questions here.
Yeah, I just had one more question about the docking station. Would this docking station work with either the Icon Braille Plus or the Icon, or is it restricted?
There will be versions for both. You can't use the same docking station for an Icon and a Braille Plus because it's a the Icon and Braille Plus are slightly different shapes. So it takes
right.
a slightly different plastic piece inside to capture it. So the dock looks exactly the same on the outside, but it's slightly different. But there will be docks for the Braille Plus. They're not yet available, and I can't talk dates because that's probably APH's to talk about.
Gotcha,
and
gotcha.
I don't
okay.
We know exactly, but the docks for the Icon are available now, and the docks for the Braille Plus should be available sometime in the near future.
Okay, so it's just different molding inside for the little cubby,
yeah.
basically. Okay, we've opened up the phone lines 866-400-5333, 866-400. Jeff, if you'd like to call in and ask any questions tonight. And Daryl, why don't you take the MSN question? Then I got one from Debbie.
All right. Oh, okay. Well, good. You're going to ask that one, I guess. Okay. Caroline would like to know. Hey, does the Icon support Ogg Vorbis file playback?
It does indeed, and it also now supports FLAC, which is a lossless compression format for people that like that sort of thing.
Excellent. And Keith would like to ask a couple of questions. His first question is, why does the Icon support USB 1.1 but not 2.0 at this time?
Well, the all of the mobile chipsets that I know of, so let's back up and divide it. So the USB is divided into two types. You have USB hosts, which are things that you plug thumb drives and keyboards into. None of the mobile chipsets that I know of currently support USB high speed. They're all technically USB 2.0, but they're not USB high speed. So the reason that it doesn't support USB host is because the processor and chipset in the Icon doesn't support USB host high speed. On the client side, for example, things like copying files and that sort of thing, that's something obviously we're looking at and considering. But right now, that's we're using the chipset the Intel processor, and it currently supports USB. What do they call that? Full speed.
Okay. Okay. And did you want to ask Keith's other question there, Daryl?
And the bookmark format. He also asks, apparently that is a proprietary format, and he was just kind of wondering why that was chosen as opposed to a more open standard for bookmarks.
Well, we use databases for almost everything in the system. The database engine is open source, and you can access them in that way. There are probably expediency. Probably when we sat down to develop it, that was the quickest solution. But if it's something that people want, we're always welcome and open for suggestions. So
hey, it's open. It's based on open source principles and largely open source software. Is that correct? I mean, people can get in there and either suggest changes or maybe modify some things. Is that
well? For example, all of our databases use SQLite. And SQLite is a little embeddable database that is really cool.
Yeah, it's great actually.
And it's open source, and so for example, the bookmarks are all stored in SQLite. So all you have to do is you can pull a SQLite database, or you can write tools on it, on the device itself to extract those things. So obviously, we can't do things to please everybody, but we try to make the best decisions we can. And obviously, if people have suggestions, we'll consider them for sure.
Well, this sounds like a great little utility that a third-party person could write that could take, say, a Netscape bookmark file. I mean, that's what most of these browsers will output, and import it.
Right.
Yeah. All right, we have a question from John. Let's bring him on. Hello, John. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Jeff.
Oh,
and,
good.
Mark, I got a question to ask. This is actually a great segue. I just installed Ubuntu. Using the Orca screen reader. Of course, that's based on Linux. And what a segue for the open source, because a lot of, obviously you know a lot better than I do that, of course, Linux is a is open platform. Anyone with knowledge can write to it. My question, you talk about the the interface. I understand that you can also use the console, and if so, how accessible is it? And, you know, if you would tell me that, I'd appreciate it, and I can listen off the air.
Okay, thanks, John. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, so the Icon and Braille Plus have the SpeakUp screen reader built in, and SpeakUp is a screen reader for the console, for the Linux console, that gives you full access to command line type applications, and so that's the best short answer I can give you, and you can you know Google or do research on you know the functions and features of SpeakUp, but. You basically have as good access to the console as you can get with SpeakUp, because SpeakUp's built in.
Marvelous.
Cool, okay.
Wow, the questions are flying on MSN still.
Yeah, we got a couple more from email, too. So let's see. Let's answer Debbie's question next. And this may be a question you may not be able to answer, Mark, just because it's kind of a future-oriented question, but we'll ask you anyway. She's asking about... she's heard rumor that a phone is planned on being put into the Icon somehow, and she was wondering if that's true, and if so, what carriers would it support?
Well, we've had on the drawing boards for a long time now the idea of putting a GSM phone or you know supporting a GSM phone in the Icon, and everything turns out to be more complicated and takes longer than you expect, and. As I mentioned before, and as is evidenced by the list of stuff that we talked about at the beginning, we've been really busy in trying to just you know get the platform and get what we've got you know to be really good. And so I can't give any dates on phone. Yeah, it is obviously people want it and are interested in it, and so it's on the it's on the roadmap, but I can't give any more details than that. I guess to clarify, GSM would be in the U.S. would be T-Mobile and AT&T.
Right. Okay. We have another caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller. Welcome to Main Menu Live. And you have a question for Mark?
Yes. Mark, what I think it may have been mentioned at some point on one of the tutorials, or maybe not. But what distribution? Because don't forget, Linux comes in different types. There's Ubuntu, and there's all different types of Linux. What version is on the Icon? Yeah, that's that was my question.
We build our own version. We build the whole system and distribution ourselves with a tool called Open Embedded. It's probably most similar. If you had to compare it to something, it's probably most similar to Debian.
Okay.
Wonderful. So does it have all the package management features and things that you would expect in a distribution like Debian?
Yeah, it has a simple package manager. It's called IPKG. Allows you to install and remove things, yeah.
Wonderful. All right. Stephen would like to ask a question here. He says, so we're going to have, and this may be addressed partially by the GSM question, are we going to have any sort of BlackBerry-type functionality or interface? Maybe the question is, could this act as a device if a smartphone, for instance, were used as a modem? Would there be instant messaging or email push functionality here?
I don't know enough about sort of what's involved in that to give a good answer, so I better plead ignorance on that one. We've had a lot of people requesting, being able to use their cell phones as modems, and so I think that's something we'll probably look at. But right now, that's not possible.
Okay,
gotcha.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we have a caller actually. Tim Cummings has joined us, and hey, Tim, how's it going?
Excellent. I just want you guys to know that I'm streaming the show on my Braille Plus.
Oh, very good, sir.
Marvelous.
That's excellent.
Just got a couple quick questions from Mark. Mark, I love the product. I upgraded from a Braille and Speak, so I made a hyperspace jump here.
Also.
but I love the product. Couple quick questions, and I can take the answers off the air.
Okay.
First question, Jeff, is there any plans to change the calculator so that you can actually paste results from the calculator into other applications? And the second question is there going to be any work done on fixing the NLS, the playback of NLS books? You can only speed them up now to about 160%, and then after that, the speech gets a little bit choppy, and I'll take the answers off the air. Great
okay.
product. Great show.
Thanks, Tim.
The first item, we've never had a request for it, but it's a good one. So I'll put it in our list of features and see if we can't do that. But the second item, obviously it's an issue that we know about and we're looking at how to solve. It has to do with licensing, and there's a significant amount of cost to fix that issue. For now, we're investigating what options we might have. I can't say that yes, it'll be fixed, or no, it won't be fixed. We're still obviously looking at it to see what if anything we can do about it.
Okay. Mark, do you guys support Windows Media and protected Windows Media file formats such as those at NetLibrary, that kind of thing?
We don't support Windows Media.
Not yet. Okay. Is that something you think that you might have in the future, or is that sort of a licensing thing that you guys are trying to work out, or how's it, what do you think?
Well, there's licensing issues, and then there's also just people issues. Finding time for somebody to actually do it.
Right. Sure.
I don't know. Part of it, honestly, for me, has been sort of a reticence to buy into and invest in DRM. Kind of a philosophical thing on my part, only because I don't know if it's going to be around forever.
That's true.
I would really hate to put a bunch of money and resource into supporting protection and protected WMA only to, have everybody drop it a year from now or 2 years from now. And I think that as far as the overdrive stuff goes, at this point, supporting NLS is, there's just so much available from NLS that I don't know. We'll see. A lot of people have asked about it, and so it's something we're aware of that there's interest in, and we'll consider it. I'm a little reticent to do that right now, just because I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe a year from now, and everybody will be using protected WMA. I don't know.
Yeah,
we're seeing more and more. We're seeing more and more situations where it's being dropped with Amazon MP3 and things like
yep.
that.
Exactly.
Thank goodness. Yep. We have another question. We have a question about support for Bluetooth object exchange profiles and for 802.11g wireless.
The only thing we support with Bluetooth right now is keyboards, and the next thing that will come is Braille display support, but after that I can't say. We don't support object exchange right now, and right now the wireless is 802.11b. So
right, and I think the concern there is B is beginning to disappear, and some routers and networks are set up to accept only G or N.
Typically, in the cases where you really care, B is plenty sufficient. When you're
yeah.
talking about things like internet connectivity, for example, B is
so is the radio on the Icon firmware flash upgradable? So if you do support G in the future, are you looking at sending it back to have the radio replaced, or are you looking at a firmware update? Would you say?
Honestly, I can't answer that because I don't know what the logistics would be.
Right.
Okay. We have one more email question from Beth, and it has to do with the Serotec Icon connection, basically, this new interface that's now provided from your partnership with Serotec and the System Access Mobile Network. And can you kind of describe that? And she's kind of wondering, for example, if you have content on your PC that's read with, high synthetic speech, can that be transferred to the Icon using mobile network, or what exactly is the interface like for that?
Well, I'm not the I'm not the best person to ask about that, unfortunately. It would be best for her to contact Saratech for details. But
okay.
Basically, what it is, it's a plugin for our browser, and so when you, for example, when you go to the to samobile.net, it adds some custom functionality for things like, oh, it'll notify you if you have email. It integrates with the media library. So if your home PC is on, you can stream music and whatnot. And it will also the same kinds of things that you could previously download to the icon via disk drive mode on your PC. You can do right on the icon. So rather than having to copy it to your sync list and then plug in your icon and copy it over, you can just press OK on it when you're pointing to it in the browser, and it will give you a menu where you can say you want to download it or you want to copy it to your sync list or whatever. So
cool. Okay.
Any more details, I would have to defer to Saratech.
All right. Yeah.
Perhaps another way to think about it is really, at least, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, if I'm missing part of the point here, but I think really the intent is that you can access and navigate the Saratech mobile network using only your icon without the need of a PC anymore.
Yep.
So anywhere that you've got a wireless connection with your icon, and if you have a subscription to the Saratech mobile network, you can go online and download movies or read your Saratech mobile network email or browse radio stations that they provide, do any of the things that you would normally have needed a PC for in the past. Now you can just do it on your icon.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Well, let's see. We can't let you go, Mark, without asking you this question, we always have to find out what the future holds, right? If you're willing to talk anyway about that. So what's next? I know you guys are heads down, probably programming away and implementing new features and that kind of a thing. And can you give us a sneak peek at what we might be seeing in the next few months from Level Star and the Icon?
Well, I think the big thing that I've hinted at all night is Braille display support, and so that's a major effort that's well underway here. I don't have an exact release date because we're not quite done with our development schedule yet, but it's well underway. We're probably going to do a really early beta very soon to start getting feedback. But that's really exciting. I've been a Braille user for years, and I believe in Braille. I think it's really important, and so being able to support Braille displays on the icon of Braille Plus, I think, is just really exciting. Being able to read all the things that we already, Bookshare and emails and documents in Braille is really exciting. So that's the major effort that's underway right now.
Do you have any guesses as to what Braille displays will be supported or anything like that at this point in time?
Well, we're testing and developing with a couple of HumanWare displays, the Brailliant and the Braille Connect, and they're supported over Bluetooth. And then we'll also be supporting, I think they also work over USB, although I haven't actually tried it. We're actually using Braille TTY, which is a open source Braille screen reader, as our connectivity, and it supports a ton of displays. So it's going to be a matter of, from our point of view, it's going to be a matter of, testing, testing all these various displays. So, but I can say that we're definitely testing and developing with the HumanWare displays, the bound displays.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, great. And so can you give us some contact information and pricing and all that again on the icon and website address and all that kind of fun stuff?
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, guys, for having us on tonight. Really appreciate the opportunity. And good luck to you guys, and you'll be sorely missed. We, Level Star, you can get in touch with us toll-free, 1-800-315-2305. Again, that's 1-800-315-2305. You can send email general inquiries to info@levelstar.com. And the website is always the best place for all the latest and greatest, and that's www.levelstar.com.
Awesome. Okay. Darryl, do you have any last-minute questions on MSN or anything that have come in?
Kind of a cool question, actually, coming in from Tom. He says, hey, there are places where, you know, Wi-Fi is not available, and so am I able to, at this time, either connect with a smartphone, or am I able to connect with one of these air cards using USB or using the SD slot or any of these technologies?
Well, on the as I mentioned, on the smartphone connectivity is not working. I don't know the answer on the air cards. I know that our software doesn't know about them, so it probably wouldn't work from a software point of view. And how much work it would take to get it to work, I don't know. Somebody actually called me about that yesterday, and I have some research to do on that.
Those air cards are pretty cool. I think they're a little expensive right now, but I'm sure that's going to become more widely available.
Yeah, you wonder though if those are Windows-based cards, meaning are they expecting a Windows operating system to?
I can tell you they don't, because the SonicWall TZ190 series appliances support air cards, and they are not. The firmware is definitely not Windows-based.
Right, yes, that would make sense. Okay. All right, well, again, Mark and Robert, thank you so very much. We really want to thank you for coming on tonight and talking with us all about the icon and all the things that are new with it, and I'm sure we'll hear from you again on Main Menu. Darryl, why don't you talk a minute? Let me see, we may be able to get this last caller in.
Wonderful. Well, once again, Mark and Robert, thank you so much for coming on board with us. And there are some questions that came through on MSN Windows Live Messenger that we have not been able to take on the show. So for those of you who had additional questions, please contact LevelStar directly using the phone number, email address, and website given by Mark. And thank you for Robert for coming in from a user perspective and telling us all about your day-to-day experiences with the icon.
Okay. Go ahead, Robert.
No, I'll just say so long to you guys and good luck to you both.
Thanks. Hold on just a second, guys. And Beth has called in. She had a question about Braille displays, and we'll let her ask that question, and we'll make that it for tonight with LevelStar.
Thanks, guys, and hi to everybody. My question about Braille displays is, how about if you don't want to do thumb Braille on the icon, but you really would like to have an icon, will there be, say, with the Braille Connect or any other displays, will you be able to input Braille using the 6 dots or 8 dots or whatever the particular display has? And that's my question. I'll listen on the air. Thanks.
Okay.
I can answer in the case of the Braille Connect, yes. The Braille keyboard is supported for input.
Okay,
again, the other displays, I don't know,
we haven't, your development's not done yet, so it's hard to really, say for sure, right?
Hard to speculate there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, again, guys, thank you very, very much for joining us tonight, and we'll definitely hear from you again on Main Menu, I'm sure, in the future.
All right. Well, thanks, Jeff and Darryl, and thanks for having us on, and good luck to you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Good night, Mark. Good night, Robert.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Next, we're going to be hearing from our panel of experts, and I know one is already here. Mr. Barrett is already here. Hello, Don.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
Good, man. You came in a little early, but that's awesome, man.
Yeah, I was just making sure that everything was working.
Yay, that's great. Okay, well,
we like that.
That's right. Well, before we get started, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to listen to Jamie Pauls from Access Watch, and then we're going to dip back into the ACB Radio Interactive Convention coverage and listen to a little bit about the new Breeze. And actually, Don has some interesting comments about the Breeze, don't you, Don?
Yes.
Oh, we are waiting with anticipation.
He told me he would not tell me what he was going to say, so this should be...
We love surprises, at least once in a while.
Well, that's right. That's good. That makes the show rather interesting. And are any of our other panel of experts here tonight yet?
I'm here, Caroline.
Hey, Caroline. How are you doing?
Caroline.
Cool. Okay. All right. Well, stay tuned, everybody. Talk amongst yourselves. We'll be back right after these.
Hi, this is Jamie Pauls from Access Watch. I have a couple of bits of news for you this week. First, the Accessible Computing List, which I moderate, has moved to free lists. To subscribe, send a message to accesscomp-request@freelists.org. That's accesscomp-request@freelists.org with the word subscribe in the subject. Also, I have posted a short audio review for users of the Victor Reader Stream, which deals with navigating the HumanWare website, downloading the latest update to the stream, and moving it to your SD card. I also go through a quick install of the Stream Companion software. You can find a link to the tutorial on the AccessWatch blog at accesswatch.blogspot.com. I moderate the VR Stream list as well. You can subscribe to it by sending a message to vrstream-request@freelists.org with the word subscribe in the subject. Come visit us at www.accesswatch.info. You can subscribe to our blog at feeds.feedburner.com/accesswatch. Have a great week.
I'm Christy Cochran for ACB Radio, and I am talking with...
Sam Adler from HumanWare.
And... I believe you have something you wish to talk to us about.
Yes, definitely. It's a product that is coming out at the end of August. It's called the New Breeze, and it's a GPS system. So a new GPS system, a new and part of our product line, and this is a simplified GPS system. So what we've tried to do is we know that GPS is a very beneficial product. It's nice to being visually impaired. You know where you are. You know what's around. You know where you're going. This GPS system is simplified in the sense that it has only 9 buttons on it.
Right.
All in one device. 7 ounces approximately it weighs. And it's battery powered. So the battery lasts 8 hours and recharges in less than 4. So it's a really nice size format. And very portable, good audio. It's all in one, so the GPS receiver's built in.
I was just about to ask you that, whether it needed a separate receiver or whether it's all built in.
It's all built in.
Mm-hmm.
We supply the device with a nice leather case that covers with a flap so that if ever you're outside and there's a drizzle or something, that'll be fine. There's a shoulder strap, a lanyard, and the software is already installed on the device so that when you purchase this, there's no computer required.
Right.
You don't need to have a computer.
And does that include updating maps and things as well?
Yes, you can update your maps, definitely. Once a year through HumanWare website, you can download the maps.
Right.
In this case here, it's a simplified device. So once the maps are installed, you're good to go. You turn the device on. It picks up GPS reception and tells you where you are. And from there, you move on. And once a year, you can go to our website and download the maps, or we can send you a CD if you want to. That's pretty easy to do. Just pop the SD card in, and that's it.
Now, you say it's a simplified device. Is that simple in terms of information it gives, or just simple in terms of how to use it?
Both.
Right. So what is the difference, let's say, between your average GPS device as people have now and this?
Okay. If we compare it to other products, first of all, 9 buttons for a GPS system is very few buttons.
Yeah, right.
So we've put it in 3 different zones. So you have an information zone that contains the where am I button that you can press anytime, a repeat button, and an information button that tells you your battery level and GPS reception.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the information section. And at the bottom of the device, there's 3 buttons that have functions. So you have a go button, you have a record button, and you have an explore button. So there's really 3 buttons there. And in the middle, 2 arrows, a left arrow and a right arrow with a confirm button to go across. So when you turn the device on, it's a sliding switch, very easy to feel, tactile. It gives you an announcement, welcome to Breeze, initializing, and then it tells you exactly where you are, and what's around you, and your battery level. and then you start walking and moving on, and it announces everything automatically to you. Now, other GPS systems, if you hop into a bus or a cab, you need to go into motorized mode. This system is fully automatic, so it'll switch automatically without having to push any buttons.
So how, I presume it senses that from the speed in relation to the satellite, then?
Correct. So right. As soon as you go a certain speed, I think it's 10 miles an hour, then the device goes into motorized and then switches to that mode. We have another mode that's called the open area mode. So sometimes you're in areas where there are no streets around, or you're far from the street. Mm-hmm. Then the device will kick into this mode and will give you directions with a distance and an angle towards the closest street or landmark around you. So, for instance, it might say, First Street, 267 feet at 11 o'clock. And as you move on, every 10, 15 seconds, it'll refresh the information to give you more accurate information to guide yourself to that street or the landmark.
And do you have the product here for people to see?
Yes, we have the product here at the table. And there is a special price for the product here at the convention, so if you want to stop by.
You don't have it with you right at this moment?
Yes, I do.
Then can you turn it on so we can hear what the speech sounds like?
Sure. The speech, the device uses Nuance.
Let's have a look at the size of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's receiver as well?
The receiver, speaker, and all the devices.
It is, let's see, it's about the size of the Victor Reader.
It would be 5 inches long, 2 inches wide.
It's tiny.
1 inch thick, yes.
That is amazing.
Single handheld.
Exactly. Oh, no, this is the way it's going, folks. It's got to be, because it's all very well having
searching
different things.
Satellites.
So it's searching for satellites. I'll go into Key Describer here.
Entering hell.
And if I press the Where Am I button.
Where am I? Current street and civic number. Press and hold. Landmarks and points of interest around.
So it's got a nice nice voice to it, and complete Key Describer. If I press the record button, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Record. Record a landmark any time ahead the road. Press and hold to record a route.
So the record button has two functions. If you press and release once, it records a landmark where you're standing. And if you press and hold it for 2 seconds, it'll ask you what's the name of the route you'd like to record.
Mm-hmm.
And then you announce the name of the route and start walking the route.
Okay. Now, as you know, ACB Radio has a world audience. And I'm from the UK.
All right.
If I wanted one, how would I get on in terms of maps and things like that?
When we sell the device, we're always going to install the map of your locality. So we do have maps for the UK. We have maps for several countries in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So when you purchase the device, we will make sure to install the correct map for you.
That is fascinating. Well, thanks ever so much. I must admit, I'm amazed at the size of it. I really am, and I think that's one of the huge selling points, because, you know, it's all very well carting two bits of equipment with cables or Bluetooth or whatever, but this is all built into one, and it's tiny, folks. It really is. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
This is Chrissy Coughlin for ACB Radio.
Very interesting stuff. All right, let's bring in our panel. I think everybody is here, including Randy, who I wasn't sure he'd make it due to the baseball game. And
ooh, no.
So
Cleveland must have lost.
No, Cliff Lee gave up no runs in 2 innings and shut those National Leaguers out.
Wow.
Again. Wow. Oh, man. We don't want to talk about that anymore. That's just not good. Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's see now. We have Debbie Hazelton, and we actually heard from her last hour. Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Hello. I am here. Yes, thank you. I wish I could have been a part of last hour.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but you were on Interactive.
But you were on Interactive.
Yes, I was.
Yeah,
yes,
so you were a busy little beaver. You're up late.
Occasionally, I have managed to know how to be two places at once, but that's usually when I've been making a mistake. So.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Very good. Well, we'll get to you in a minute, because you obviously got a chance to roam around, and I think, Caroline, didn't you too? You were at the convention, weren't you?
I wasn't able to make it this year,
unfortunately. Oh, you were not. Okay, okay.
I did some listening on ACB Radio to the sessions and things, and
okay.
I've been previously.
Yeah, good. Okay. And now, Randy, you didn't make it, and I don't think Don made it to either convention this year, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Did not make it.
Okay.
So,
right.
Debbie, we're relying on you.
We're
to,
relying on
no.
you.
Tell us about it.
Yes.
Oh,
so we're going to focus first on the breeze. And before we let Don just give us his viewpoints on what he thinks of the Breeze, and you know, let him give us that his opinion there. Can you tell us a little bit about the Breeze? Did you get a chance to hold it in your hand and kind of play with it at all, Debbie?
I really I didn't get to play with it because I was lots of other places, but I think I did hold it at one point and did appreciate its small size, but I held so many different things it's almost hard to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. But I'll tell you what I did appreciate about it is that I think it's very practical. It's for the person who wants to know where they are. They may not want to plan out a lot of routes, but they want to know where they are, and they want to get around and, you know, where they're going, but not necessarily, they're not going to necessarily be a person that goes out and builds a lot of routes. It may be more of a kind of recognizing where they are in places that they usually go. And I thought, I mean, for some people who don't want the complications of a GPS, that might still be very useful.
Yeah, and it's pretty attractively priced when you look at other alternatives, yeah, such as GeoMobile, which is a great solution for those that have a cell phone. Of course, Code Factory was talking about it during the shows, and actually had it on sale there. The big thing about that, though, is that if you do not have a cell phone and you do not have mobile speak, then it does get a little pricey. So if you look at
I'm also going to say that in many cases use of your phone's internal GPS receiver is not going to be sufficient with that product.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, we shouldn't make assumptions like that right now because it's in beta. First of all,
true,
and so we don't know what's going to happen with that. So it's hard to really say, but
that's just what I've heard through the rumor mill.
Yeah, suffice it to say is that the GPS receivers in cell phones. I mean, you're predominantly buying a phone.
Exactly.
You know, so keep that in mind when you're looking at that. Now there are some though that purport to work rather well, but. You know, I don't want to really get into that because it's not really fair to compare that right now with an unreleased, an unreleased product. But okay, so Don.
Yeah, I have to say, and I don't have a Breeze. Actually, I have the money. I do want to buy one, but I will not buy one until HumanWare comes out with some way of adding an address and saving it as a landmark. One of the coolest things about the Breeze is that it's self-contained and handheld, and you know, I know so many people with Garmins and TomToms and Magellans who are our sighted counterparts, and I just think HumanWare missed a golden opportunity to come out with a handheld, simple, full-functioning GPS. What I would love to see, because you can go to any landmark, Jeff, I could go to your house and label it as a landmark, and then it would calculate routes on the Breeze to your house from anywhere that you had maps for. And I don't think it would be a big problem for them to come out with a software package that would let you type in an address and store it as a landmark so that you could, in fact, use it as a full-functioning GPS without having to add all the extra input keys for inputting. Now, I could be wrong about this, but I don't think so. And I just think they missed... I think they could have really cornered the market, and I still think $895 is a lot of money. And
yeah.
I personally, I won't buy a Breeze till it has a little bit more functionality. It is almost there. It's so close, and it just kills me that they stopped short of giving it that full functionality that I think we all really want.
I also had a little bit of an issue. I've read the press releases and the information on the website about the Breeze, and it sort of focuses on, you know, which I guess is fine to a point, but it focuses on this idea of you know, you would use this in a familiar environment or an environment where you've explored already with a sighted person or something like this. And, hey, you know, I understand that a GPS device in that price range isn't going to have all the sophisticated routing functionality. But, Don, I really, really agree with you. It should be a little bit more, you know, at least let us record points of interest using our recorded voices or something like that.
I also want to pile on in terms of saying I just think that it's too expensive. It's too expensive, and the mobile speak product is also too expensive. You know, we have a Garmin 260. My wife paid $240 for it, and granted, you can say, well, you have the entire market to defray costs over, but this technology has pretty well been developed. You know, it's not like they have to reinvent the GPS wheel. You're just talking about an interface that works for people who are blind, and I think that there's enough of us who would really use it that they could sell it for $500 or $600, and they would more than make it up in volume. So I'm really kind of sick and tired of being gouged by folks. It is getting old.
Do you think that there's? I mean, I don't know because I don't know the answer to this, but you know, on Windows Mobile, obviously, or even you know, Windows Pocket type devices. There are definitely mainstream, you know, GPS products that talk to Bluetooth receivers and stuff like that. Has anyone played with those and determined whether or not they're accessible? I know that parts of the software probably wouldn't be because it's very visual, maybe. But has anyone played with that? I mean, that seems like a solution that might be at least worth exploring.
One of the things, I have a GPS 18, which, to my eternal dismay, Garmin has discontinued. But it cost me $106 from Amazon, and it was fully functioning GPS software with a USB GPS receiver, and Freedom Scientific actually wrote scripts for it, and it is awesome, but it means you got to take your laptop anytime you want to do a route. So it's only for automotive use from a practical standpoint, but it's awesome, and I just... You know, it kind of whet my appetite to look for the perfect GPS solution, and where I was counting on the Breeze, I really was.
Will that work on the PacMate, Don?
No, and I understand the PacMate is updating. Freedom's going to be updating the Street Talker to version 2. Somebody talked about that, but I can't exactly. I don't have an idea when that's happening, but I've heard they're working on that.
You know, at this point with GPS, you know, I've got to say that. You know, whether it's the you know, the Braille Note GPS or the SenseNav or one of those, I have to say that it seems to me that the Sendero folks are in the right ballpark as far as blindness oriented GPS products, in that you can do things like share point of interest data and things like that on the web, which is really what you need. You need a community oriented, especially when we're talking about things of a more pedestrian, you know, blindness-oriented interest. You need a community to update those points of interest. I think that makes the solution better.
Agreed.
And I don't see that happening with Street Talk.
Interesting, yeah. The phone lines are open, 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF, if you'd like to call into the show tonight. And Caroline, do you have any comments on this whole GPS topic before we move on?
Well, I started with the PacMate GPS before I updated to the Omni. And it just really, I mean, I loved when I, you know, could see other friends and people using GPS. And so when I got it myself, it was just really exciting. And now, of course, I'm just waiting for a solution that can replace what I had with my Omni, whether it be the Street Talk or, you know, Mobile Geo when it comes out or something.
Okay, cool.
I have a Magellan. It's a sighted person's GPS, but it does have voice activation. I can actually say, Magellan, go home, and from anywhere in the country, it'll calculate a route and at least call it out, and whoever I'm with, I visited Randy at the beach 2 years ago and was supposed to get a 3-hour ride home from a good friend, and it ended up taking me 8 hours, and it was then that I decided it was time for a GPS. So, you know, this kind of works, but it doesn't have of course, the facility. It'll get me home from anywhere, but that's just about it, unless I let a sighted person program it.
Well, that's still something.
Yep. That's something. That's interesting. Yeah.
Well, you know, I know the power of GPS firsthand. Our in-laws, sister-in-law and brother and sister-in-law came out in January, and of course they had no idea how to get around here in Arizona. So when they rented their car, they got one of these GPS units, and you know, it saved their lives. You know, as far as getting around, it just made things a lot easier, and that was the first time, you know, really that I saw, you know, from a sighted perspective, the real true power of a good GPS system.
Well, you know, the one thing that my wife and I do, and this is not a blindness related thing because we're using the Garmin, but I mean, we can go to any spot knowing nothing about the area and say, tell me what restaurants are within a 3-mile radius. Tell me what shopping is in 3-mile radius. Tell me what hotels are in a 3-mile radius. And those things are pre-programmed. So they're, I mean, so you have the ability to be able to really investigate your area without really.
Randy's Skyping.
And I want to remind you that she paid $248 for this unit that speaks great turn-by-turn directions with street names.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, that's why I'm critical of this. I mean, I feel in some respects we're being gouged because they can.
And our solutions, from what I've seen, after seeing the GPS solution that they were using, our solutions, in my opinion, don't currently hold a candle to that.
No, like OnStar, for example. I was in a car with a friend of mine that has OnStar, and it's unbelievable. I mean, it's
man, OnStar for the blind. That wouldn't that be so wonderful?
Blind Star.
It could be done. It could technically be done from a technology perspective.
You could call it. You could call it Blind Star.
I like it.
Sure.
Yeah. We're sending a man out in a cane. He'll get there in 24 hours if you live that long.
Oh goodness.
Our paratransit drivers here in Orlando all have GPS, and the drivers in Fort Lauderdale don't. And when I go down there, the drivers are constantly lost. And up here, they're not. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. It costs more for us, but it sure is nice. And it talks. I can hear it tell the driver the directions. You know, turn right in 300 yards, it says.
Oh, how funny.
Yards. We have a caller. Let's bring the caller in. Danny has a cell phone question, which kind of relates.
Hey there.
Hey, Danny. How can we help you tonight?
Well, I got a question for you. I've got a carrier, but I don't have a talking phone. I'm thinking, I've got an old phone that I used to use with Verizon. I'm thinking I might go ahead and get Verizon again and ditch my current provider, because this old phone with Verizon, the Verizon phone can talk. It is not the latest and greatest, but it can. It has limited talking.
Is it LG?
I was a little surprised that at the convention there was AT&T, but I did not find, maybe I just didn't know where to look, but I didn't find any other vendors there. Now, maybe I didn't know where to go, but I just wondered if you know anything about how things are progressing as far as off-the-shelf, you know, phones where you don't have to buy a third-party package, because those darn talking programs, they cost a good bit. I used to have a good phone with one in it, and it got stolen. And so I'll never buy another one again, because it's just too darn expensive.
Well, at least you didn't jump in the pool with a phone like I did.
Oh, no.
We'll tell that story in a minute. But, Danny, we'll let you listen on the air. We have a couple suggestions for you on that.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Boy, Jeff, you have water issues. You drop your stream.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll talk about the virtues of the Panasonic 5673 in a little bit.
Hey, at least... Go ahead, Debbie.
To answer that, at least partially. At one point, I had a Verizon LG phone. I think it was the 4650. It was the second issued one. And, you know, at first I was like, oh, cool, I can build my think I could build my directory. I don't know. There was something. Maybe I couldn't build a directory. I don't remember what it was I could do with it, but I could answer and get caller ID, and there were some functions that definitely spoke. But what really made me very frustrated was that caller ID would not come into my headset. If I was wearing my headset, caller ID still blurted out through the speaker. And I called everywhere trying to talk to them at Verizon. They ended up having me talk to the LG people, and when I did, the man I spoke to said, "Oh, well, it will never do that. It will never go through the headset." And I said, I said, "Well, then it's not completely accessible." And he said, "Yes, it is." And I said, "No, it's not. If it doesn't give me the same privacy or the same access to privacy that you have, that's still not total access."
Good for you.
I got out of my contract, and I had to get somebody else to resume it, and I dropped that phone in the toilet before I got rid of it.
Ah, page out of Jeff's book, yeah.
Went and bought him a similar one off of eBay, and I went back to T-Mobile, and since then I've been using different Nokia phones, and I'm on a hunt for something, too. And there was supposed to be something there. I thought it was called Access Phone or something. It was in the paper, and I never saw anything on it. The only vendor I saw there was AT&T, and I really didn't get to talk to Susan. There was a man there, and I saw a few phones, but yeah, I still have questions.
Well, there's a great website, and Daryl found it because I forgot the name of the link.
And Accessiblephones.com.
Yeah, J.J. Medha, the guy who runs BlindBargains.com.
Blind Bargains, right.
Which is just an awesome website. If you aren't visiting that and aren't reading that in your RSS reader, you really should be. Daryl, tell them about it. I'll catch the phone.
Okay, so accessiblephones.com. It's just a website with information about accessible smartphone solutions. It has information about carriers. You can look up different types of phones, Nokia Symbian-based phones and Windows Mobile smartphones, and find out what type of screen reading solutions or accessibility solutions are available, and all that good stuff. It's a pretty good starting point if you're looking for information on how to get into the accessible phone arena.
And we'll hold on to the water story in just a few minutes while we take this call. You'll notice I'll be delaying that now throughout the entire show. I'm sure Daryl will drown me in the torture of it, won't you, Daryl?
I will have to figure something out, that's for sure.
Yeah, he'll figure something out. But he just has to remember that I control who speaks.
Well, who's in hot water, then?
So I can turn him off, you see.
Who's in hot water, then?
Well, I am, well, I was. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But
very interesting story.
It was a very interesting story, and quite the miracle it was. All right, let's see. Joe?
Yes.
How can we help you?
Glad to be on your program tonight. I wanted you to comment on Saratech's changes that they're going to make, especially that program that they're going to try to provide the opportunity for K through 12 students for utilizing the program. My long-term concern or intrigue of interest is that I feel that student needs are somewhat different than the needs of the group that product has been marketed to previously. And though I don't think they're overly worried about it, being a Braille user and sitting in meetings with, you know, related to Banner stuff, is there going to come a time that you think that the educational needs or interests are going to conflict with the needs of the group of consumers that they already are serving?
Okay, we'll let you listen on the air, okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's a very interesting question, and
wow.
let's first bring people up to speed, and we'll go to the lady with all the knowledge of the convention, the Hazeltonian of the convention. We'll let you.
I'm trying to remember exactly how that program works. The K through 12 part of it, I guess. So much of what struck me about And I didn't get enough hands-on with any of this stuff. I should have really done that with all of these. But what struck me was that they kept emphasizing a way for people to get access to a whole lot more at a low cost. And it seemed like whatever it was they were describing about this program, K-12, it was going to be a way to kind of not have to deal with the high cost so that more parents could get what they needed for their kids, regardless if the school board or blind services, you know, had so many hoops to jump through and or if money was an issue. And so I think, you know, so much of what he's working with is a way to make things that typically aren't accessible to make them a lot more accessible. I don't know enough about the technical end of how he's doing that. I guess one of the things I'm thinking, and I don't even know if he's working with Braille displays, but I know that I keep hearing about a printer Larry's been talking about here, a Tiger printer that doesn't even require Braille translation software. It's actually in the printer. So I think we're going to see some devices, perhaps more devices that will, you know, like even the PacMate, Jonathan was saying, you don't have to switch to their FS Edit anymore. It'll automatically turn things into Grade 2, or you can write in Grade 2, and so you can get that. You can still have that Braille with whatever you're doing. But I don't know how that really relates with Saratech per se. Does anybody else know?
Okay, I kind of do. So what they're doing is they're giving every child up to the age of their senior year.
High school graduation,
High school graduation, a free copy of System Access Mobile Network. So the only thing they have to buy, the only thing they have to buy is a key.
Okay.
And
they have to buy the drive itself,
right?
The physical drive,
the flash drive. They'll go out and buy a flash drive, and they'll then they can put it on the key, and they have full access to it. And you know, Daryl, you and I have discussed this a little bit, and so let's let Randy and Don take a crack at this first. And caller, we know you're there. We'll get to you in just a minute, Matt. And it's not Matt from Saratech, so anyway, that would have been interesting, wouldn't it? Let's see. So, Don or Randy, do you have any comments on that in reference to, you know, what they're doing with the high school students?
I don't know enough about it to speak intelligently, but I will just say, hats off to Mike Calvo. He's one of the most innovative thinkers in our field. And whether you like his stuff or not, or whether you support what he's doing or not, he's got a lot of heart, and he comes up with some great ideas. So I'd like to find out more about it before I would say. But
sure.
I think it's a great idea, of course. And anything that puts assistive technology, we all know how expensive it is. And I'm sure parents have the same issues that we as adults have in terms of affording things. A lot of times a kid in school, you can use something at school, but they won't let you take it home. And to the extent that these things are available and this screen reader is available to kids at a low price, I think it's fantastic.
Randy?
But I don't know the specifics.
Right. Randy?
My concern is not over the innovativeness of the program. It's concern over the program itself, and that is make access innovations without a capital stream. I mean, that is essentially my concern. I mean, if you want to try to get a bunch of kids that would think in terms of your program first, I think it's a novel way of trying to get it done. But the question, I use the program a lot, actually, and there are aspects of the program that I really think are strong. But there are also aspects of the program that need a lot of work, and I question how they're going to fund that work and where that money is going to come to fund it from.
I have one question about it. I mean, they say that, you know, I gather they build a network of all the websites and all the music and all the this and that, you know, that you could want. And I don't know what that means if you want something that's not on there. And it would make me wonder if you would have to be dependent on their choices. I don't really know.
Can I take that one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have an active account and everything, and I use it. It's not so much that you have to use the products that they offer on the network. They're there. You can use them. But you can also, I mean, it's a full-fledged web browser. You can go to any place on the web, you know, that you want to go to. There's a, you know, a search where you can search for any kind of media. You can play your own media. You know, so it's, you're not limited to the items that are on the network. They offer a lot in terms of, you know, like tons of the described movies and things, but you're not limited to just that.
Interesting. Mm. So you like it?
I do.
Well, here's here's my opinion. Go ahead.
I think that the side of it where you can do remote work on other folks' computers is phenomenal. And
that
I don't,
is incredible.
That is such a strong selling point. And I mean, and they're honest about the deficiencies in their software and where they need to work. It's not that I wouldn't want to say that they're not honest about that. I'm just hoping it's going to be such that, you know, they're going to be able to fund this down the road.
Yeah. Well, here's my opinion about it. And I think it all depends on how it's brought to the student. In reference to what impact it has to the student. If the student understands that it has limitations that other commercial screen readers such as WindowEyes or JAWS for Windows or anything else, Supernova or HAL or whatever, then I think it's okay. Because obviously there are some things that it can't do. It doesn't have configurability. You know, it doesn't have scripting. It doesn't have a lot of things that are really necessary for a real strong business-oriented application where you have to deal with situations where the norm is not there. And so, but for a student who wants to browse the net, check their email, listen to a movie, listen to some music, you know, which is the majority of what kids are doing, you know, they're doing Facebook or MySpace or whatever, although they shouldn't be, in my opinion. But anyway, they are. And, you know, so kids are doing that stuff, and this provides a way, a free way for them to have access to it, and I think it's great, but I think
you can't knock that. Yeah,
yeah.
The big
thing though is it's really important to make sure that they understand that, you know, when you go to college or when you get a job, well, who knows what, you know, we're all conjecturing here what system access will be in, you know, let's say they're in fourth grade, what's it going to be in 8 years? So it may be huge. It could be huge. We don't know.
I'm deeply concerned. First of all, I think it's great on one level, but as all of you and many others know, my ultimate focus is, as an accessibility evangelist, education and employment. What is needed to make sure that blind children and blind adults will be able to gain the accessibility that they need in order to be productive using technology. Right now, as it stands, as we've said, system access provides access to the web and email and some word processing and some operating system functions and many applications, but it's not easy, it's not very configurable, and it's definitely not scriptable at this time. So school systems have an obligation, have a federal and state obligation to provide accessibility to children with disabilities. What is going to happen now that Saratech is out here providing free keys for K-12? Well, the school system is going to say, oh, cool, we don't have to spend, you know, $500 on WindowEyes or $800 on JAWS when we get a free screen reader. That's all fine and good, but now, watch this. So now the kid needs access to the kid is okay. So that's probably fine, you know, for most things in the early years. But now the kid is in fifth, sixth, seventh grade, or in high school. They want to do higher level mathematics, or they need to use some specialized software in their English class or something like this. And well, system access is really not flexible enough to be customized to work with the software, and the vendor isn't making it accessible. Now what? Now the school systems out there and the agencies that fund them, I'm afraid that they're going to become very confused, and it's going to become more difficult for blind children to get what they need. From my perspective, even though, of course, I do care very much about finances, I want to make sure that you all understand my perspective. I ultimately don't care. I would spend $5,000 or $10,000 on a screen reader if it worked with every single application that I could possibly need in the classroom or on the job.
But part of what I heard them saying is that Window Eyes and Jaws also have some limits, and that what they're doing is using some of what they've learned from these other programs to make theirs go further. And I don't know. I mean, I agree. I think those are really good concerns, because I wouldn't want to see kids fall through the cracks like that. And on the other hand, how nice for kids to maybe be able to get what they need without waiting on school systems to not, you know, spend so much money on these programs that we've been used to.
Well, this is where the individualized education plan comes in, and how critical it is for students and their parents to be educated on what they really need, so that when they go to an IEP meeting and they say, well, look, my kid has to use these three software packages and they need this specific screen reader, this solution you're providing at no charge may not be acceptable, and demand their rights under the law in their IEP. So
it's going to get harder.
It's going to get harder.
It's going to get harder, sure.
But I would also say, in fairness to the folks at System Access, you guys are reacting as if Window Eyes and Jaws really makes these higher function programs accessible. That many of them, guys. Not that many of them.
Mm-hmm. But at least there's potential, though.
But here's the thing, guys.
The potential doesn't exist. The script is there for someone to get.
Well, but here's the other thing, though, is that you have to look at what Saratech is also doing in the area of innovation. They're the only screen reader right now that's handling Web 2.0.
Exactly.
So listen.
Web 2.0 and remote incident manager for me are the things that make Saratech a job relevant system.
But they're not giving remote incident manager to the kids.
No. But I'm just saying in general. Remember, I'm job relevant.
Yeah, but Bruce brings up a really interesting point. Sorry for interrupting you, Carolyn, and I'll get back to you in just a second. And he says, well, what about the fact that they only support one Braille display? Now that, my friends, that really is significant.
That's a technical issue, as I understand it.
Well, I don't care what it is. The fact is that first of all, Braille displays, not every school district is going to have that one Braille display. And I really think that you know, literacy and reading of Braille, I mean, look, the statistics show it, that if you're not a Braille reader, the chances of you getting a job are, you know,
pretty nil.
Which Braille display do they support?
Alva BC640.
Is that what it is? Yeah, yeah. Caroline, go ahead.
My thing is, too, I'm just curious, because I read the press release when it first came out, but I just don't remember exactly. Is this program providing System Access or System Access Mobile Network? Because there is a distinction.
Mobile Network.
There's an absolute difference. The network is...
Yeah.
Just that, the network, where System Access is the screen reader part itself.
I think they're providing access to the network. Yeah,
it's a full key with System Access and access to the System Access mobile network.
Okay, so it is both products.
Right.
But
here's the other thing that concerns me, Guy.
Okay, then we need to move on after you.
Are you going to go to the school systems and say, we'll give ourselves away for free, but we acknowledge the fact that these other screeners don't do as good a job as you? I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think they're going to say that.
I think it's really interesting. But I commend Mike for doing it. You know.
Oh yeah.
Let's make sure
we understand ourselves that we're not. This is not intended. You know, I want to say from my point of view, I'm not meaning to slam Saratech or anybody. I'm just concerned about the unintended consequences and ramifications.
Yeah.
Well, the ramifications will actually be that they're going to now be pushed from the demands of the school system to make their product better.
Yep,
and I think everybody wins from that.
I think it's. I think it was a brilliant move. If you want to have my honest opinion on it,
I agree.
Yep. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Okay, Matt, I'm sorry for the long delay there, buddy, and welcome to Main Menu. How can we help you tonight, sir?
Well, first of all, it was a great discussion. I enjoyed the discussion. I agree that Saratech is going to be a dominant screen reader in the future. From an assistive technology perspective, I've trained people on assistive technology with the Utah Division of Services for the Blind and Visually Impaired. And honestly, if I could recommend anything, have all the screen readers you can get, because what one screen reader won't read, another screen reader will read.
Yeah, that's
well,
right.
That's true. And, you know, Clarence Wiley, who has recently passed away, he said exactly the same thing. I mean, he sat there in a GW Micro presentation and said, you know what, we're not the be-all and all to everything. And Mike Calvo has said the same thing.
Right.
You know,
yep.
We're not the, we do not, you know, we're not going to resolve all the world's problems. It's a tool in your tool belt. Use it. And, you know, for Clarence Wiley to say that, you know, just, and it's just so, so true. It's just awesome. Anyway, Matt, did you have anything else, sir?
So another thing I had is, it's amazing how much money people are wasting on GPS solutions. When so many people out there, they need a cell phone and they need a GPS, why not combine all your resources, go to MobileSpeak, look up what kind of phones are there, get the MobileSpeak for $295 or Talks for $295, stick it on a phone of your choice, run the Lodestone, which is completely free, and get a Bluetooth GPS for $150 or less.
Wait a minute.
Either directly from a retailer or on eBay or whatever. Is that way you have your cell phone and your GPS all in one solution. The cell phone speaks your GPS information. Then you also have a talking cell phone all in, you know, maybe two devices, but gee, the GPS you can put in your pocket and it'll still see the satellites. So you're still only holding one device, a cell phone, and it's doing all your GPS functionality for you through a Lodestone, which is free, lodestone-gps.com.
And
everybody needs to check it out and quit wasting money on expensive GPSs. Lodestone is fully functional.
And it's accessible?
Oh, yes.
Is that on the Symbian platform, Matt?
What platform is that on?
It runs on Symbian and Windows Mobile.
Oh, my gosh.
And which one are you running it on?
I'm running it on Symbian 8.1 with Talks.
Do you know if Mobile Access can use that on Windows Mobile?
Mobile Speak users can use it on Windows Mobile. You'll find it when you're reading. I don't remember exactly where on the Mobile Speak page, but it does mention Lodestone accessibility in there. And when you go to lodestone-gps.com, you'll see Windows Mobile version.
Matt, you
how
rock.
How do you spell that Lodestone? Lodestone?
Stone.com. Lodestone-gps.com.
I'll tweet that.
Okay.
Well, I hope somebody does a podcast, a good demo of it, because I'd sure like to hear that.
Well, we'll pass.
That's a pretty guest receivers inside phones.
Matt, you may, you know, we may want to contact you later on this. You know, the next host of Main Menu, and see about getting.
Well,
you on to talk
I have
about
a couple
that.
Of publicly accessible emails. Everybody can email with questions, comments, concerns. KB7QLT@Hotmail or Yahoo.com.
Okay.
If, you didn't get it, yeah, KB7QLT, Quebec Lima Tango.
Excellent.
Sorry.
You'll be hearing from me at least on that, and that's awesome. That's fantastic, Matt. Thanks so much.
Is that Kilo Bravo 7 Quebec Lima Tango at Yahoo.com?
Yep. Kilo Bravo 7 Quebec Lima Tango at Yahoo.com. And you can also find me on Twitter.
Okay.
At what Twitter name?
KB7QLT.
Wonderful.
Okay.
73, Matt.
Yeah, 73 to you, Matt. And, wow,
yep.
That's pretty awesome.
The force will be with you.
Yeah, may the force be with you, buddy. Okay.
Yeah.
866-400-5333. Wow, is that really interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious how well the maps, you know, free maps are free maps, but I wonder how they compare with the ones you have to pay for. I'm not saying they don't. But it'll be interesting to check it out and kind of see what Lodestone really has to offer. Sounds good.
Yeah. We have a caller. Caller, you'll need to turn down your radio or your computer anyway. And how can we help you tonight?
You know, I should know that as I am a DJ anyway. It's Mike Capel. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
DJ Mike C.
that is correct. Just wanted to say a great convention, although I wasn't able to attend, but I was feeling like I was there via the ACB radio. And loved every moment of it, and I actually now have officially now joined the American Council of the Blind.
Well, welcome aboard, sir.
It feels great, and you know, guys, I'm going to miss you.
Well, thanks, man.
Oh, thanks.
And we'll be back. We're going to be producing some content and stuff. Actually, you know, we have the scripting series coming up and stuff like that. So
it's
we're
time
just,
to pass the baton.
Yeah, we're just not going to be hosting. That's all. And we'll be back on panels, and you know, they'll have us back. And
well, you know, there's many ways to access the main menu or everything on it. You know, sometimes you go through the old traditional main menu, and then there are these shortcuts. So you guys will be some of the. I guess you guys will. Appear as shortcuts, maybe.
and we'll be doing, you know, watch out for us. We'll be doing, you know, blog posts and podcasts mm-hmm. and different things individually as well.
Did you have any questions for us tonight, Mike?
Well, I really, I've been taking a look at the Essay to Go, and Daryl, you know, I was listening to your comments earlier, and you definitely make a valid point. And, you know, not only for that, but I know when I was in high school, I always, you know, was trying to take, you know, computer programming and a lot of that stuff you just cannot do with system access. And you're right, you really do. Even if you are, you know, like a JAWS or Windows, you almost need two screen readers on one computer because there's just some things that right. one screen reader works with that yep. the other doesn't work.
That's
with.
Right.
And what happens when if you remove a substantial amount of capital from the mainstream from the AT players, and what if their ability or willingness to make more accessibility declines in the process?
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, I will let you guys go,
okay.
but keep up the great work.
Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. 866-400-5333. 866-400-JEFF. Now, one of the things that I wanted to touch on this week was this new Firefox 3.0 plugin called WebVism. Now, how many of you have tried it?
I have.
What do you think of it?
Well, I've used it for the CAPTCHA solving, and I played with it on LiveJournal, just even though that had the audio CAPTCHA, I just wanted to see how it would work.
Oh.
And I also did it, there was one set I'd used it on that did not have an audio, and it took a couple of tries, but it did manage to fill it in, and I love the concept. I think it's definitely, definitely something interesting, but I'm, you know, a little bit reserved.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah, me too. I've tried it.
The only concern that I have is that, you know, now that this is out there, it's going to be used maliciously. It's going to be used by spammers, whether it's intended to be used or not that way. And I think it's going to kill it for us. I hope not. I'm knocking on. Oh, this is not wood. This is Formica.
Here, I'll knock on something.
So I don't know. I think the innovation is just awesome, and Blind Confidential posted a comment on his blog that said, you know, why haven't screen reader companies done it when this, you know, these guys have? And that's actually a pretty interesting point. And let's see.
I'm also concerned that not only that it'll be used for malicious purposes, but that website operators may now believe that they are not under an obligation to make their CAPTCHA accessible.
Exactly. Hey, Beth is here, and she has some comments on GPS. We don't have much time, Beth, so keep that in mind,
okay,
but how can we help you?
Okay, I'm going to make it snappy. Thanks, guys. First of all, Lodestone is Lodestone. Second of all, the phone that was being discussed, the quality of the caller ID being blabbed out. I understand the capital accessibility with the Oasis phone does not do that, and that's an accessible
right.
phone.
That's
it's just
true.
It's just very basic. Also, with the GPS, two quickies. First of all, with the Breeze, I wonder if you drive somewhere with a sighted person, if you record a route that way, if it can then be used on a pedestrian level. And the last thing is, do you guys know of any websites which have pedestrian routing? You can just, like the Google, very simple, you can put in from and to, and you can get pedestrian turn by turn if you don't use or want to use a GPS with the receiver. Thanks very much. I'll listen on the air. Bye.
Okay. She's definitely quick. And I don't have the answers to that. Does anybody else?
I used to recommend MapQuest, but these days I've heard that MapQuest sometimes likes to direct people to drive off of bridges. So there's
nice.
So I don't
sounds like Randy's driving. Yeah.
You get maps and weird stuff in the past too. I don't know how they are now.
So I really like Google Maps.
Yeah.
That is a great question about the breeze, whether you can do it in an automobile, come up with a route, and then actually walk it from a pedestrian.
Speaking of Google Maps or MapQuest or something, I understand these guys have APIs and, well, you know, WindowEye scripters out there.
Yeah, or draw scripters for that matter, any scripting. You know, let's get it done.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen. We're closing the phone lines tonight. Sorry about that, everybody, but we're shutting stuff down. And so before we let everybody go, we just want to give all of you an opportunity to further comment on Webvism. Don or Randy, have you tried it?
No, I have not.
Okay. Have not yet, but I intend to. It sounds pretty exciting. And, of course, like any of our technology, definitely some pros, definitely some cons, but time will tell.
Well, now, you know, they also have a feature where what System Access already has, which is Seesaw, the ability of labeling things and having it shared across the network. And so that's part of Webvism. And IBM is also doing that. I saw a post about that today. And that's really interesting. In fact, they're taking it a bit further where their IBM is actually submitting this content to a group of volunteers who will then discuss the content and then put up metadata or basically information on the server, which will then be rolled.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, they came out with that last Tuesday. I think the same people who developed Homepage Reader were working on this. Yeah,
yeah, very, very interesting. I got to check that out more. And then AFB is doing a project called...
Yes, Project Helen.
Yes, yes. And it's very interesting. Have any of you tried that?
I took a quick look at it. I've been getting messages from someone at AFB asking me to try it. I tried it this afternoon. It's essentially a website where people can submit... websites as they browse them. There's a toolbar application which I've not yet installed, and it allows you, when you're on a website, you can quickly add it to the system and you rate its accessibility.
Yeah, and there's quite a number of people doing it. We've gotten some. You can actually get email messages sent to you when people put comments up, and some of them have been rather interesting. So it's. Yeah, kind of interesting. So, well, guys, I want to thank everybody tonight, Caroline and Debbie and Don and Randy. And guess what? I guess we're not going to have to talk about the water thing.
We got out of it.
That's good.
Well, some of us already know the story, so.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll just flush it away, Jeff.
Yes. Well, it's the stream and then it's the phone, you see.
Well, I would like to say this, though. I will just say this, that the story, the submersion of a phone into water, into a pool of water, and its ability to continue to work is amazing, and hats off to the Panasonic KX-TG5673 cordless system.
Indeed, and thanks to Master Brian Bishop for rescuing the phone.
Happy gurgling, I mean Googling.
You see, this is what happens when...
Coming next in Stream version 3.0, waterproofing.
Waterproofing. Waterproofing, yes. That was definitely a very difficult thing for me to explain to Jerry, I'll tell you that.
As your contact at the HumanWare said, Jeff, at least he knows what's in it.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, more yellow journalism.
Yes, well, something like that. All right, guys. I want to thank all of you tonight, and it's been a lot of fun on Main Menu. Daryl and I will be back in some way, shape, or form on Main Menu. But stay tuned, everybody. We'll all learn together who our new hosts will be. And
it's been an honor working with you guys.
Yeah, thank you very much, everybody.
Absolutely.
And we'll
thanks
talk to
all our loyal listeners.
Yeah, we'll talk to all of you guys later, huh?
Good.
All right, we'll see you. Good night, everybody, and if you need to get a hold of the Main Menu production team, we'll still be monitoring that address for a little while, mainmenu@acbradio.org. Good night, everybody.